What's going on, you guys? It's the Film Drunk Frotcast. News team assemble. Coming to you live from the Frot quarters in San Francisco. We got almost the whole regular crew. We got future football Hall of Famer, Brendan.
And then I smash her head in like this.
Yeah, he does that. The Mountain. And then we got the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
I am Indigo Montoya. You raped my sister?
Sister.
Prepare to kill me.
So we got into spoilers pretty quickly.
Yeah, real fast.
Real fast.
Damn.
Sitting to my left, very special guest for tonight's broadcast, we have Ivan Hernandez.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? I really like this music because it sounds like the male equivalent of like a Japanese magical girl team's theme.
It's exactly. Yeah, it's called News Team Assemble. It's like some old 80s news theme from somewhere.
It was 80s. Milwaukee, I believe.
Yeah, and it is about assembling and coming together to deliver just the hard-hitting news, probably about like killer bees or Satanists. Yeah,
at one point, there was a building on fire, and there's like a woman outside in a trench coat, like interviewing a guy in a fire uniform.
I thought she was interviewing the fire, which would be really interesting.
Yeah, that's an interview you don't see enough of.
Yeah. Nobody tells the story from the fire's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just there. I was just minding my own business. Assholes come in with a hose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always orphanage burns down. Never heroic fire put out by evil firefighters.
Exactly.
It's always burns down. It's never chemically changes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Why can't it ever just be force of nature changes molecules into other form?
And that's pretty miraculous if you ask me.
Yeah, and big deal that it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I feel like that's a really like anti-capitalist thing to be like, put it out, it's getting too big, break it up into smaller little fires.
Let the free market dictate how fucking large this fire is going to be.
Exactly, that's what I say.
Yeah. Well, Ivan comes to us from Boar's Gore and Swords podcast about Game of Thrones. We might get into a little Game of Thrones later. I know he's probably sick talking about it.
It's just one of those things where like, I talk about it for like an hour and a half every week into a microphone, and I'm like, you want me to talk into a microphone about this dumb show when I'm not getting paid for it?
Yes.
You know what?
Fair enough.
I guested on other podcasts, and I don't think I've ever been able to be like, dude, I don't want to talk about films this time.
Oh, here's the thing, though. You're talking about an entire genre. I have to be like, Peter Dinklage is great, like every podcast I go on to.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Speaking of local news, I did have a nice little local news
Was that, by the way, that theme News Team Assemble used actually for a local news show?
Yeah, it was like 1982 in Milwaukee.
My friend composed it in his garage, and we totally have the rights to it.
Sorry.
No, that was a Creative Commons licensed track, right?
Yes.
I don't know. It's pretty old. I don't know. Whatever. Well, somebody sues me, they can have all the literal tens of dollars I've made on this podcast.
It's more than 30 years old, so that's got to be some sort of copyright issue.
Yeah.
But it's public domain by now, right?
I would hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
So somebody sent me this clip of this German Shepherd that drove a car into a pond.
And I like where this is going.
It looked exactly like my dog that I thought about stealing back again this weekend.
Mm-hmm. You had a chance to.
Yeah, I did.
And you didn't take it.
Somebody stole your dog?
Well, technically.
Oh, let me guess. Some woman walked into your house and took your dog away from
you. You know, they have sex with you for like 6 years or so, and then they're just like they just take the dog. Like,
yeah, it was
their
all a pretense to take that dog.
Yeah, it's not a fair trade. But the news story also has like the most awesomely Massachusetts sounding dude ever. So. And Brendan, we're going that area for your wedding very soon.
We are.
Yeah. That's the pond right there. So clearly it's relevant.
Yes.
Here now with the story. And John, that dog has quite the lead foot, you could say.
Well, Heather, for a small dog, she sure does. But like a lot of dogs, this puppy was excited to jump into the car. This one, though, got tangled up with the gas pedal and then got in over her head. Meet Rosie, a 12-week-old German Shepherd puppy. She's all tuckered out after an exciting morning in Canton.
Yeah, she's a handful. Her name's Rosie, and it was just scary.
John,
just to set the scene for you, he's wearing a sleeveless Red Sox jersey.
Nice.
Why do all these newscasters sound like Lorne Michaels?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
He's a small dog with a lead foot.
Stello, Rosie's owner, says it all started after he'd taken this normally frisky puppy for a walk by Bolivar Pond in Canton.
He hopped into his car and started it up. But Rosie had her own ideas.
The dog just jumped in and hit the gear shift. And the car jerked. And when she hit it, slammed into the drive, she fell on top of the gas pedal.
Puppy drove the car into the pond.
What was that?
The car went for a...
I just feel upset that a dog knows how to drive stick and I don't.
Yeah. Maybe they rode the clutch the whole time, and actually, I hope they destroyed the clutch. It'll make me feel better about the one time I drove stick
just
and
got
destroyed
that big
someone's
lurch.
Car. Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to say you guys are less of men for not being able to
drive
stick.
We're certainly less of men.
I'm less of a man than a 12-year-old German Shepherd puppy.
Like 12-week-old.
12-week-old.
Yeah, but that's like 80 years in human dog years.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't do that math, but in my head, at least.
Super old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's fucked up.
Anyway, that was just the news story that I wanted to bring to you.
Oh, that was okay. Excellent.
All right. That's right. Rosie launched this car right into Bolivar Pond.
Car was right here. You can see the tracks sticking out.
The 911 call surprised Canton police.
I've never heard of a puppy driving a car into a pond. But
Officer Quirk never met Rosie.
Puppy driving a car? Now I heard everything.
When the car went first at the water, I jumped out to grab the dog, and then she leaped in the back seat.
And that's when Eric Herman, working nearby, rushed
out. Watched a dog drown.
30 feet out in the car. Puppy
that,
had...
That was that Phil Collins song, scared. Right? Yeah. He watched a dog drown.
Yeah.
I could see into the back seat. Front door was open. Trying to get him out the front door, coax him.
12 weeks.
Yeah.
Rosie.
I don't think...
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So good for that dog.
Yeah.
He lived.
I'm glad the internet's back to loving dogs again, because for a second it was like, man, you know, cats are heroes too. Like the one cat that has ever done anything nice for any other human being.
You know, they executed that dog.
What? They executed the dog?
I love the word executed for it because it connotes like a firing squad.
I mean, they executed him.
He got the blindfold and the cigarette.
Exactly.
He ran out.
Oh, that'd be adorable. A little blindfold and cigarette on a dog in front of a brick wall.
Can you do that to just any dog who attacks anyone?
I mean, I'm sure the rules differ by county and state and municipality and homeowners association.
Isn't it a rabies thing?
I'm sure in Kern County, it's like any unaccounted dog is pretty much going to get
killed.
Boom. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty big problem there.
I was attacked by a dog when I was little, and had I known that
stray dogs actually outnumber the people in Bakersfield.
Is that true?
Yeah, 4-1. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but yeah, anyways.
It's like grease over there.
I would have liked to have that dog killed. Is all
just for vengeance.
Yeah, because like it made me scared of dogs for like a year until I met a nice dog again. Took me a while to meet a nice dog.
I got
dog.
Bit by a dog when I was a child.
And it didn't faze you?
Not really.
You're just like, oh, that's another day on the streets of Fresno.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yo, I got bit by a rabbit and I hate those motherfuckers ever since.
Yeah. They are. I mean, they got sharper teeth than you would expect.
It bit through the skin.
Oh, easily. Oh, yeah. You ever read the book Benicula?
Yeah.
It's about a bunny Dracula.
Scholastic Book Fair.
Yeah. I don't remember much after Bunny Dracula. Yeah,
there was a cat who was like, fuck this rabbit. And there was a dog who was also like, fuck this rabbit too, but still, we got to investigate.
Did they
think that's how it worked?
Did they ever...
Something like that.
Yeah. Did they stab the rabbit in the heart
with
like a
carrot? I think the rabbit ended up being like not a douchebag.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. You know how like most vampires are douchebags, but this bunny rabbit vampire was pretty
good. Cool.
They
got
that Jersey hair. You know?
He's a good Benicula.
On the movie-related... Tiff, sort of.
Are we talking about Edgar Wright's Ant-Man as far as movie tiffs go?
No. I mean, that is a good movie tiff. Yeah. I kind of think everybody's like, oh, who's going to direct it now? But I think if anything, him leaving sort of proves that the director doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
That already happened with Thor 2. It absolutely proves the director doesn't matter. What Marvel likes to do is they like to get their directors to shoot a lot of coverage so that they can edit it however they want.
Yeah. Oh.
And Edgar Wright is one of those rare nerd auteurs.
Right. Yeah.
So he's not going to fall in the line like that.
Yeah, hell no. He wouldn't do that.
Clearly.
He'd edit it all cool and funny.
Exactly.
Because that's how he edits.
Exactly.
Funny.
Hot fuss.
Yeah.
I don't know. All the Marvel movies, I guess they're similar, but they do differ greatly in quality for me.
The only ones that I feel are actually legitimately good movies are the first Iron Man and the second Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
all the Iron Man sequels are shit. The first Captain America I have a lot of fondness for just because Joe Johnston directed The Rocketeer. And I never thought we'd get a period Captain America movie, like, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the period part. Everything else was, we ripped this off from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a pulp adventure that basically exists to get Captain America into the modern era.
Yeah.
That's why they literally had, like, just people pointing at maps and being like, stuff happened there, and then stuff happened there. So that they can just, like, insert more stuff into his history as needed. It's not like a movie. It's like, that's my problem with a lot of these Marvel movies. They don't exist because someone was like, I need to make this movie. They exist because Disney's like, we need to put out, like, 28 Marvel movies by the year 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just keep making them. That's why I don't see any of them. Remember, I saw Iron Man.
It's good.
I liked Iron Man 3. Iron Man 3 is my favorite Marvel
movie. I didn't like Iron Man 3.
Favorite Marvel movie by far.
Because that 20 minutes hanging out with that little kid was stupid as shit.
Oh, that was funny.
I mean, as long as the guy's kind of vulgar and mean to the kid, I'm into it.
I didn't like it because it felt like, oh, Disney bought us. Now we have to include little kids.
Vince and I saw the Robin Hood movie with Russell Crowe, and just like, this entire fucking movie was just like, it wasn't even a movie. It wasn't even a standalone movie. It was just like, we're just going to set it up so there can be more characters in the future. And it sucked. So it sucked because they didn't make a fucking movie. And then they didn't make any further movies.
And then I liked how Russell Crowe like discovered the ancient scroll that was basically like the Magna Carta, where it was like, my grandfather says the ruler can only rule at the discretion of the ruled. And it was like this huge thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
God, was that Ridley Scott?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was.
That motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yo.
He should have jumped off that bridge, huh?
Damn.
Wow, that's pretty intense yet true.
Where are you gonna?
Dude, that's a hot take.
Oof.
You can have that one.
Yeah, Ridley Scott. Man, that Prometheus was just so terrible.
We've discussed that one. I think it's...
Okay.
I like it on the macro and then not on
the
micro.
I believe we agreed. The statement we were able to agree on for the movie was it was a beautiful mess.
Yes.
Here's my problem with the Alien movies. Every time they try to answer more questions in those movies and like expand the universe, it just gets dumber.
Yeah.
Like Alien and Aliens are two perfect movies on their own. Mm-hmm. Like I actually like a lot of the comic books and expanded universe stuff, but every Alien movie after Aliens has just been terrible.
Except for Resurrection. Right.
No!
Winona Ryder, yo. She was hella fly.
Winona Ryder was real cute, man. That was like the last of the, like, Winona Ryder's like a cute pixie movies.
Yeah, it really was. Like, that was it. After that,
Now she's like a dirty old slut.
I bet she's still hot, though.
No, now she gets... It's the Hollywood any lady older than 35 has to play, like, crazy old lady roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last thing she was in was what? Black Swan?
Was she in there?
Yeah, she was the crazy old lady.
Was she? Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was the crazy old lady who was like, Natalie Portman, you're going to turn into a black swan.
Oh, man, I need to see that again.
Eh.
I'm going to.
Eh.
Just for Winona Ryder. Because she's like been hot forever. I bet she's still
hot. She is a very pretty lady.
Oh, she's so pretty.
Yeah. Since Reality Bites.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Her last one was Homefront. Don't remember that.
Nope.
Was that
Frank and Weenie, The Letter, The Iceman, The Dilemma? No. I don't know.
The Dilemma. Oh, wow. Whose wife was she in that?
That's a good question. I never saw that movie. Don't plan to.
That was the Kevin James, Vince Vaughn one. Kevin James's wife is cheating.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Yep.
She played Kevin James's wife, I assume, because Jennifer Connelly was the other one, because I know every movie that Jennifer Connelly's been in.
Well.
She is quite a favorite of mine as well.
I don't like her eyebrows.
I like her eyebrows. Like two I like real giant big thick eyebrows.
Caterpillars on her eyes.
No, did you see that dumb Fox TV show she was on where she had a unibrow?
No, but I bet it was.
Yo, she was like the sexiest lady with a unibrow I ever seen.
I mean, I believe it, but
was it about Frida Kahlo?
No.
What was the show?
It was just like a Wall Street show.
And she just randomly had a unibrow?
Yeah, it was called The Street and Guys.
Yeah.
The S. Was a dollar.
Oh my God!
Sign.
Oh, I was gonna say
S was a dollar sign. Say,
that's really good, actually.
Yeah.
You know what? I wish that show was still on.
For yeah, that. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, nothing lasts.
So anyway, my movie take was gonna be before we got down. You know, we went down some movie related terrain.
Hey,
totally side road.
Yeah,
it's a tributary. But look, I was thinking about having seen A Million Ways to Die in the West.
That's my reaction to every Seth MacFarlane everything.
Really? It's funny.
Even the fucking new Cosmos, I'm like, all this 2D animated bullshit is terrible. Get back to actual science instead of trying to fucking make everyone a science hero.
Yeah.
All of the 2D animated parts of the new Cosmos are like, look at this science hero who got pushed down by the man. Isn't he great? It's like, yo, just like show more like lava flows. And
yeah,
stuff.
They're kind of they've kind of almost gotten to the point where they're almost as obnoxious as the religious right. Like whenever I hear, you know, Ricky Gervais or like people getting super self-righteous about like being atheists, it's like, yeah. I don't want to hear the minute you make atheism as organized and partisan as the religious right, it's sort of like, well, now you've made it the same thing.
Right. That's the whole issue. I remember like when I first kind of became aware of like people who are atheist online, I was like, oh, okay. Like that's cool that they're like organized. And then you see what assholes they are to other people. And you're like, this is kind of the reason that I sort of got turned off on religion in the first place.
Yeah, we're like bullying people about it. I'm sort of like, I don't, what? No.
Yeah, like, you fucking sheep, you idiot. Yeah. And it's like, my brand of atheism is kind of like, I'm pretty sure there's nothing and I'm just not really going to think about it.
Yeah,
and like, I just don't devote any brain power to like thinking about that.
Yeah.
And it's great. And I don't have to go like, you think about how stupid you are. I've done tons of research into why Jesus doesn't exist.
It's weird. You seem like a really intelligent person, but then when you start talking about God, it's just like...
I like that religious neg you just did.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you seem... what's annoying about it to me is when I read anyone use the word sheeple non-ironically. And it's like, dude, you know, that was a really funny South Park joke, right? And then when they're like, fucking sheep.
8 years ago.
Yeah, right, yeah. And then the people use it like to actually describe a group of people.
There's a weird axis between like militant atheists, Ron Paul supporters, and then like the pickup artist men's rights community.
The three worst people in the motherfucking world.
There's a lot of weird overlap in those communities. And touch on one, well... But like, it's a weird brand of nerd. Where
also,
like,
lots of fedora wearing.
Yeah, there's like a lot there's of a shut overlap. In listening to Doug Stanhope record kind of. Not that I don't love Doug Stanhope, but
it's
a certain
fan. Type. It's for sure a type.
It's a type.
Yeah. What's the Doug Stanhope type?
Fucking just nerds.
The shut in sort of militant atheists
who are like, fuck it, fuck the world, fuck politics,
yeah.
There is no God, I'm never going to leave my house.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of like the conspiracy theorist as a separate religion kind of thing.
Yeah. Joe Rogan is another kind of example.
I would say Joe Rogan is a little light on it, but yeah, he's definitely, lighter. He definitely lighter. Fits into that.
He fits into it too.
Yeah. I try to give him a pass, but they're,
I think they're both funny. Don't get me
wrong.
I
do too.
But they're like, sometimes the fan base is a little bit like, oh God, stop, please.
Is it possible to like not be defined by a shitty fan base? Because like, there's certain people where I feel like it's sort of taking them over.
Yeah,
and that was actually where I was going with this. The beginning of this discussion, I was talking about Seth MacFarlane, and I have this theory about why people sort of hate him. And I don't think it's that he's so unfunny, because I think he does a lot of stuff that's reasonably funny. I think it's that he sort of thinks the way a businessman thinks, where if a joke works once, he's going to keep repeating it until it doesn't work. It's sort of like when a businessman sees an opportunity, it's like sort of the whole Mr. Brainwash Banksy sort of dichotomy, where it's like, all right, this style of thing is working and people are buying it and they like it, and I'm going to let the crowd sort of dictate when I stop doing that style of thing.
To go back a couple subjects, it's Disney buying Marvel and saying, let's take every single fucking piece of intellectual property that this company owns, and we will make as many movies as we can, and then we will reboot all those same movies, and we're just going to keep doing it until people stop paying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, that's their entire strategy right now.
I think the thing with Seth MacFarlane is that there is absolutely nothing about him that is sincere or true or genuine, except his weird love of big band musicals.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that is literally the only thing he seems to be passionate and like serious about.
Right.
It's hard to tell. I don't know. Like, there's times when I read a sincerity to it, but like a lot of, I mean, if you want to read it the negative way, you can certainly read like his entire career is like, oh, well, he sort of wanted to do something that was like The Simpsons. Like, you could definitely read it as, you know, as a career move. Like, you can read everything he does like as a
well he took he was trying to make Family Guy for like over a decade.
Did you ever
see the proto Family Guy pilot?
I just saw that recently. Yeah. And it's basically the pilot of Family Guy, but with kind of different drawings and whatnot.
Yeah, they're drawn differently, and it's like on Cartoon Network, so it's not like, you know, filthy.
Yeah, and he uses a lot of the same jokes that they used in the pilot. But I would like to defend Seth MacFarlane, if only to say that I do think he is genuinely funny and for sure genuinely talented.
Yeah.
And talented in a way that, like, not a lot of people are.
I think he's, like, funny and talented in a certain way, and especially more talented than a lot of people doing comedy are.
But I
think, like, you give other people more of a pass because they don't do that thing where one joke works and they just keep reusing whatever that. Like, he definitely seems like he learns from his mistakes in the way of a businessman as opposed to in the way of, like, an artist, you know?
Right, sure.
He's definitely more Marvel than Edgar Wright, it seems like.
Yeah.
I just don't find him, like, interesting or human at all.
He does have a very dead-eyed quality to him.
It's very dead-eyed. It's very insincere.
Interesting.
Like, and, like, when have they ever tried to get sincere or, like, truly emotional on any show he's ever done?
No, never, ever. I completely agree with that. But I only assume that's just because he is just not thoughtful. Like,
that's exactly what I'm saying. He's not thoughtful.
But not being thoughtful is, like, there's some people who I would rather not ever be thoughtful and just make the thing you're making. Like if Family Guy tried to be overly thoughtful, I think I would cringe a little bit just because it's just not that. Like, it's not South Park. It's not The Simpsons. It's just it's a lot of random jokes, and most of the jokes are pretty good, and then one is the funniest thing I've heard in a long time, and then a lot of them are just bad. But it's worth it for the one joke that I'm like, that was so good.
Yeah, it's hard for me to weigh the one that I love with the, like, one that I'm just ugh.
I there's something about watching something be so solidly mediocre and then have a moment of brilliance where I'm just like, oh, it just makes me feel like it's I don't know, I like that.
It's like the open mic night comics where they all have one joke that's like a standout, you know?
Not all but
a lot of them have, like, they'll just go for months and they'll just have that one joke where you're like, oh man, you need to donate this joke to somebody else.
Right. Yeah or just do that joke and don't do anything else.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Good
night.
I just like it.
I just can't do it because there's so much good comedy television happening.
Oh, yeah,
that
sure.
Has things to say.
Sure.
Like, yo, I give Comedy Central a lot of shit generally.
Yeah.
But Broad City
is
amazing. Review with Forrest McNeil.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Okay, you need to watch it because it might be one of the greatest comedy character studies that has ever aired.
What is it called?
It's Review with Forrest McNeil. It's Andy Daly.
Yeah.
And the show is he reviews life events.
Oh, that's awesome. I love Andy Daly.
And he does crazy stuff in them, and it all carries through episode by episode. So it's just this slow, like, descent into madness.
Huh. That's great.
It's amazing.
He's really funny.
I'll say this. You know, like, there's certain types of comedy. Like, I love Louis, but at the same time, I can totally understand someone comes home from, like, a hard day of work. They don't necessarily want to watch Louis. They're like, you know, give me Family Guy. There's something that's, like, a lot of nice, easy jokes. I don't have to be, like, challenged artistic. Because I love Louis, but at least 20% of the time, it just, like, makes me really depressed.
For the defeated.
I was a devoted Louis watcher, and I just, like, there was no particular impetus, but I think I just didn't watch it one Monday and then never caught up because I was like, oh, it was like right in that arc he did with Parker Posey.
Oh, yeah.
That's like when I stopped watching.
Real bad.
Yeah, and I heard it got really dark, so I never really got a lot of motivation to get back on it after that.
Yeah. He also has, he's definitely made a shtick out of being put upon in a way that I think other people get way more shit for that kind of thing than Louis does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't really get shit for always painting himself as, like, oh man, everybody dislikes me.
Right, yeah.
oh, you mean that episode where he punches a woman in the face and makes him into the victim?
Yeah. He also is like, oh, nobody likes me, except for this one random chick at a resort who takes me home and, like, fucks me.
Yeah. That, I'm a big fan of that show, but it's taking pretty odd turns.
There's some that are, I mean, challenging in a way where I'm like Portlandia. There's a lot of Portlandia sketches I love, and a lot of them they're just like so dry that it makes me uncomfortable, and I'm like, right. I almost don't. There's like a hump I have to get over when I want to watch the show.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking I don't watch full things anymore. I think I watch a lot of single sketches or clips of something. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that's the new way that people watch things.
I hate that.
Yeah, I think that's what I do. So maybe if I was consistently watching Family Guy or consistently, like I've never ever in my, I don't even know what the opening sequence to Portlandia is.
I definitely had that thing with Seth MacFarlane where he like comes on podcasts and shows. And I'm like, oh, he seems like an all right guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think he's generally a good guy until I have to like sit down and watch like something 40 minutes made. That he's made.
And you're like, ah,
you're like, ah, but it's a son of a bitch.
I watched the movie Ted again while I was visiting. My parents and I liked it. I was like, this is pretty good.
Again, I saw the first half hour and I've seen the Peter Griffin moment, and it's one of those things. It's like it's got a lot of funny parts in it, and then there's the moment where he does an impression where the bear voiced by Seth MacFarlane does an impression of Peter Griffin voiced by Seth MacFarlane, and it's like that is the worst joke.
Right. It's self-indulgent as fuck.
Yeah. But not even self-indulgent, more just like it's trying to reward people for knowing who he is.
Yeah, I got you.
It's even worse than self-indulgent.
At the
somehow.
Same time,
like Louis self-indulgent.
Trey Parker in basketball does do a Cartman at one point.
There's something about like mediocre comedy films where I don't feel as bad about their creation and watching them as like mediocre television shows.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't know what I think. It's just because when somebody makes a mediocre television show, it's like, you're doing 22 episodes of mediocre comedy.
Yeah.
Why can't you just compress it into 90 minutes of mediocre comedy?
Yeah.
It also seems really hard to make a good comedy TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're on HBO and you can do like The Veep.
Veep is so goddamn.
Veep's great.
Veep's really good.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything?
Armando Iannucci is great.
Yeah. Have you ever seen anything?
The thick of it.
I've seen. Yeah. I don't know, but has there ever been anything about politics that has been as good as? I like that it just sort of shits on it. Like it takes all the Aaron Sorkin, like smart people being the heroes, and just sort of shits on it.
You mean Veep?
Yeah, I think in a way,
Veep
like
does. Yeah,
yeah. Most of our media is still so reverential of politics. Mm-hmm. And I think what we've seen over the last few years is just like, I mean, politics have always been scumbags, but I think that like we've come to grips with it. Like you'd probably still find some people who are like, Richard Nixon, great bravery in a period of turmoil, you know, like, you know, like there's probably still people that generation would feel that way. And it's like, if Richard Nixon did exactly what he did today, we would be like, fuck that guy. Like, I want to smash a brick in his face.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's like, I think we're less reverential of politicians. So
yeah,
it's like sort of interesting to see them, like you said, just shit all over it.
But every once in a while you get someone who's like, Is there anybody on Veep who's like not a bastard or blah blah blah?
That's the point.
And I'm like, okay,
that's what makes it good.
Yeah.
A, that's like all the best comedies, and B, it's about politics, so it's especially accurate.
Veep's one of those shows that I haven't seen like a full season of it. I've only seen like four episodes randomly, but every time I start it, I'm just like, I had a lot of time to watch TV while I was visiting my parents.
Well, I've seen every single one, and I wasn't visiting my parents. So what the fuck are you doing with your life?
Honestly, I'm just not watching Veep. But but whenever I do watch it, I'm like,
I got a job as a handyman.
That's what I do. That's what I need for money. All right. By the way, your walls need painting, and I could do it.
So that's an announcement for all you guys in Frotcast Nation.
If you ever need someone
Matt
to come
Leib
by,
got a job today.
$5 will paint your fence.
Oh yeah, I got a job. I mean, it's the same job, but now they're giving me benefits and they're taking taxes out, which is nice.
Double-edged sword.
Well, the taxes out is good because it means I get some back.
Anyway.
Yeah. And you know, unlike the. You know, just being a contractor where I have to figure out all my deductions and stuff. But I've been saving a lot of receipts, you guys. I have so many receipts.
Better at that.
Oh yeah, you got it. You got her.
You got Vince. If you're gonna take one thing from this podcast,
save receipts.
I feel like the problem with saving receipts is that people put them into a spreadsheet, and every time like I pull up a spreadsheet on my computer, I just like get sweaty and I break out in hives. Like I feel like
that's not good.
Feel like I'm back in a desk job.
But you know, what
I just
you
can't.
Do?
I just can't look at a spreadsheet without just
get
kidding.
Me, dude. I will do it for money.
Yeah,
I will enter all of your receipts into a spreadsheet.
I'm not gonna make the joke you're expecting me to make.
Do it.
I just love that this dual occupation of handyman slash tax preparer.
Dude, I'll do for money.
General around the house.
I will do all the things that you need done. You know, I mean, not.
Look, if you give him $20, Matt Lieb will wear a maid outfit around your house.
Yeah, listen.
You agreed to that very quickly.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Honestly,
I think
I was lowballing you.
Yeah, I think we kind of established I have like a $40 range on pretty much everything.
Yeah. He said he will suck a dick for $40. That's his.
Well, it was like, it depends whose dick, and it depends.
As long as it smells good, he's clean.
Sliding scale for dicks.
There's definitely a sliding scale.
All right, you guys. I promised you a reading from Mr. PFT Commenter's ebook, Obama and Goodell. And if you don't know about PFT Commenter, the shtick is based on a Pro Football Talk website and their commenters, which I knew nothing about before I read PFT Commenter, and I still enjoy it. I don't care very much about sports writing or the mainstream sports media, but I really like PFT Commenter.
I will just say this. I think it's Pro Football Talk is definitely – well, I can't think of a website that's more popular that's purely for talking about football. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's maybe basically the Yahoo of football,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because like maybe ESPN – like their NFL section gets more clicks or whatever. But I think it's probably the most popular like football site in the world. But I'll say this. It's I see a lot of similarities in the comment section there and Pro Football Commenter shtick with like when I was in college and like seeing what people were saying on our message boards, like lots of like really crazy politics. Yeah. And lots of misspellings.
It's basically like if the Yahoo Answers the hive mind was raised on nothing but self-righteous sports editorials.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of conservatism sort of ingrained in those mm-hmm. sports morals where it's like...
It's like the fogyism.
The hardest workers. Yeah. Like it's only hard work. It's all about putting yourself before the team. putting the team before yourself. And, yeah.
So anyway, that's the shtick. I didn't know... I wanted him to do an interview where he broke character, but he's not quite ready to do that. So he did a reading from his ebook, and I didn't know how that was going to work because a lot of his shtick involves misspellings and the way it's written.
Yeah.
But it actually worked out really, really well. The intro to the scene, this is what the scene is going to be about. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is meeting with Sports Illustrated's Peter King to discuss the news that Peter broke last evening. Jerry Jones has died. They sit down to talk in Peter King's rumpus room. King's Rumpus Room is a room with a bar with only Shock Top on tap with glasses made out of hollowed-out oranges. There's only beanbags to sit in. The beanbags are filled with nutmeg, coffee beans, and hops, and Peter has obviously been drinking. The only pictures on the wall are Peter with Dan Shaughnessy with Dan's eyes cut out and Roger Goodell's eyes replacing them. Peter's a strange guy, but he's got the best nuggets in the business. And here you go from PFT Commenters Obama and Goodell.
Hi, Peter. You did some outstanding journalism last night. And I appreciate your commitment to the game of football. I'm sure you didn't want to be spending your Valentine's Day on the phone with me.
Of course not. I mean, what kind of sick person would that make me?
Peter bites down on his lips so hard that it bleeds. Roger Goodell pretends to ignore it, as always.
Right. But now there's business at hand. So you say Mr. Jones died during a plastic surgery? That's a real shame. I always like to have some fun with it and say Jones would have been the face of the league if he didn't change it so often.
Well, actually, Roger, it's a bit more complicated. He was having dick surgery.
Dick surgery?
Yes, it was a terrible dick surgery accident.
Well, what was wrong with Jerry Jones's dick?
He wanted to make it bigger, sir. It was actually not plastic surgery. It was plasmic surgery. To salute the Cowboys in the state of Texas... He wanted an actual piece of a star implanted in his dick.
Jerry was always a risk taker.
It only took him several hours to bleed out the hole where his dick used to be, so at least he didn't suffer.
Well, first things first. make sure to send a gift basket to his most recent mail order bride, and make sure that that doctor never performs another surgery again, because I'm making him chief concussion scientist on the NFL study for chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Yes, sir. But there's one other thing. Mr. Jones's last will and testament was complicated.
Well, I can't imagine the Cowboys being owned by anyone else besides Mr. Jones and the rest of the NFC East. But seriously, who is going to inherit America's team?
Do you know why they're called America's team?
No. Why?
Because they were really good back in the day when their leaders knew how to use the draft. But now they spend all their money on people who are too lazy to work.
Really makes you think.
I know, but I did some snooping around and I spoke with many league circles. I've got a huge nugget for you. It seems Mr. Jones didn't have a will.
You're kidding me.
I wish. He honestly thought he would live forever. So he didn't say who he was going to leave the team to. And here's the strangest part. According to Texas law, if there's no one specified to claim a dead man's property, the property goes to the American with the most legal, unprosecuted kills under his belt.
Okay. So who's that?
Chapter 2. The White House.
It's a lot of levels. Nice. A lot of levels to that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sports references there, guys.
A lot of sports references. Yeah.
I only got about half of them, but, you know, still funny.
Yeah. PFT commenter.
Right. Well, that happened.
Yeah, sure did.
I liked it. I actually read the whole ebook. It's pretty funny. Did you read it, Vince?
I have not read it yet.
Oh,
it's getting
good.
There.
It's good. There's a couple times where it's there's an exchange between two people will be, you know, like person number one, SMH. Person number two, SMH. Which always makes me laugh.
I like the idea that he's got the commenter shtick and he's like, all right, imagine if that commenter wrote a novel about Obama and Goodell.
Right. It, with like similarly bad syntax and
yeah.
And everything spelling.
It's
and
like three levels of in character.
Yeah. That's what makes him so impressive.
Yeah. It's quite a gymnastic act he's pulling off there.
Yeah, he did the same thing. He did like a reboot of Playmakers in that kind of shtick. And he also did it was just like Goodell versus D'Angelo Smith, who's the head of the Players Union, which is pretty good.
Don DeLillo actually wrote a novel that was it was like written in character under a pseudonym as the first female professional hockey player, the first female NHL player, and it was like written in the style of one of those bad sports autobiographies where it's like, you know, Bono's Bo the Book or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like not in print anymore. We had like an excerpt of it, and I really want to read that because that sounds amazing.
I like how it's a whole novel based on a character that's just makes comments on message board. Like I had
it's sort of like your How Come. Like if How Come
was the whole fucking novel.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That guy just was like wrote some like a book on philosophy.
How come kids only kids can see ghosts?
Yeah. I actually had a
it's true though. How come only kids can see ghosts?
Fair question. That's why so many people keep Googling it.
I think kids are liars, that's why.
I have to ask that Colton Burpo.
I can't believe that's a name.
I had a novelty Reddit account called Yahoo Comments that I would just use mostly to, I would just copy and paste spam. and I would just spam people, like spam comments for fun. And eventually people got mad, but a few people saw the name of my username and thought it was pretty good. So maybe I should write
something to hang your hat on.
Yeah, maybe I should write my own. Thank you. Thank you.
Is that one of your credits?
Yeah, right. Some people thought I was pretty good. Oh, God. I could live in this applause break. All right. I don't like it.
Finger snaps.
That was not as satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just more real.
Mm. Yeah.
So, all right. So, Game
of
Thrones.
Where do we go from here?
I was going to go. I was going to transition to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
SMH.
Now, I did have
SMH.
I did have this question about you covering, as a person who covers Game of Thrones, as semi professionally.
Oh no, it is professionally.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I'll go back. I'll edit that out. Just edit out the semi.
Please edit out that semi. Look, I don't want to be semi-legitimized by you.
So when I write about, well, not when I write about, but when we write about it on the internet, there's a big problem that you come across where everybody wants to read about Game of Thrones, but also everybody's super sensitive about spoilers. Mm-hmm. And so there's like become this sort of spoiler, self-appointed spoiler enforcement Gestapo. Mm-hmm. And it's this weird thing where I feel like the internet's just this constant back and forth between everybody wanting to talk about it at the same time and then people getting really angry about people talking about it. And like, what do you have any sort of methodology for involving spoilers?
Anything that's aired on the TV show is fair game.
Yeah.
There's all the stuff that's happened in the books that has been spoiled by listeners for us.
Yeah.
Like, we knew about Joffrey dying at some point. Mm-hmm. We knew about, what's his name, fucking...
No spoilers.
Wolfhead. Wolfhead Johnny. Fucking what's his name?
Rob Stark.
Yeah, I knew about that from, like,
the other
season.
B stands for bad at living.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like this one might have caught people off guard because anyone who read the books, the Red Wedding was like, holy shit, you know, and like Joffrey dying was holy shit. In the books, I would say I would have to give props to the guy who played Oberyn Martell because people just loved him and he did such a great job and he's such a good actor.
The snake?
The red viper.
Okay.
I felt like in the book, he's just kind of another guy.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of a cool scene, but I don't think you've identified with him as much or you haven't gotten bought into him as much leading up to that. So it's like, it's a cool scene in the books, but it's not one of those, like, it's definitely several levels lower on the oh shit scale than, you know, the Red Wedding or Ned Stark dying or something like that.
Plus, when a dude just writes in text, he crushed his head like a grape.
Right.
Versus actually seeing a gigantic 7 foot tall fucking Norwegian dude smash a tiny Chilean gentleman.
He's Icelandic.
Yeah.
Is he Icelandic?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Wait, no, the big guy's Icelandic.
The big guy's Icelandic.
Yeah.
My head almost exploded like
it
did.
Yeah. It's a big difference actually seeing it happen.
Can I ask?
Yo, that was grisly as fuck.
Yeah, that was insane.
That was arguably the goriest Game of Thrones. Wait,
that is the gore. It's one of the gorier things I've seen on television.
Because even before
I watched the fuck out of Hannibal.
And even before that, there was the guy.
It's so good.
There was what's his name? The kid who cut off what's his name's junk.
Bastard of Bolton.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He skinned the guy and poked his eye out.
Yeah, Ramsay Snow.
Ramsay Snow. Yeah, or Ramsay Bolton.
So he's now Ramsay Bolton.
I got a question.
Yeah. Formerly Ramsay Snow.
In the book, do they use the text? Are the words he crushes?
Oh, I don't know.
Like
I
a grape.
I only read up to where the TV show.
Because the whole time I'm thinking, I bet he wrote, and then he crushed his skull like a grape. That's what I thought the words would be.
If somebody crushes another dude's head, it's always like a grape.
It's always a grape.
Because if you're gonna crush a dude's head, you have to be the kind of person who knows how you're going to crush that guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brendan, can we get a ruling as a book reader?
Yeah.
I think it just said he grabbed the back of his head with one hand and then brought the other hand forward with a sickening crunch. And I think that was it. And then it kind of cuts to Tyrion throwing up. I think it says he lost his breakfast.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as cool as what actually happened.
Yeah. No, it all happened in a very short paragraph. So,
yeah.
Well, it was pretty true. The show is pretty true to the book where he punches him and his teeth come out and then he starts sticking his fingers in his eyes. And then I think the implication is he crushes his head, but he actually crushes it with a punch rather than kind of squeezing it until
it
explodes.
What was great about the squeezing of it is because like from the get-go of the scene, I knew, I was like, yeah, he's finished. For sure he's going to die because
he's
doing too well. He's being cocky and they know there's too much. I mean, I don't know if maybe George R. R. Martin expect or knew, but I felt like this is, we're trying to assume this is going to be like the Indigo Montoya scene where he gets his revenge. Mm-hmm. And then of course they're going to flip it on us for sure. There's no way he's going to get his revenge perfectly on this. It's going too well. Nothing
goes
that well.
The minute he started showboating, I was like,
yeah. But what was great was
he started doing the touchdown dance before he got in the end zone.
Exactly. But what was awesome
is
that...
I wonder what PFT commenter would have to say about
SMH.
It.
Definitely.
So wasn't a gritty enough performance. So yeah, not elite.
I just
he's not elite. He was... I don't know. Let me think about that.
Well, I just like that they made it so gory. It was for me almost. I felt
if he was from the north instead of Dorne, he would have just brought his lunch pail, gotten the job done.
Oh, okay.
If he was from the north, but he's with those Dornishmen,
How they just like to sleep at like,
it's just a cultural thing.
It's a cultural thing. They're all
all those small plates, man. They love those small.
They're
plates.
All expecting handouts from Martell Care.
Yeah. But anyways, that was awesome. That was great.
Yeah, when I talk to people and they're like, I'm like, oh, do you watch Game of Thrones? It's like, it's kind of like, it's a little gory for me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I mean, I want to respect that view, but God, we are just so different as people.
Yeah.
I just love television gore.
Oh, yeah.
When it's appropriate.
When it's good.
For some reason, when they shot that girl in the stomach on stupid Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I was like, ugh, this is way too grisly for this show.
I've never watched that show.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It is so legitimately terrible.
Yeah.
Everybody's performances are stupid. The writing's bad. Ming-Na is very good, but she's the only good person in the show.
See, I don't like too much gore. Here's the thing.
I don't like network gore.
You know what?
Because the thing is, when it's like porn, like on Game of Thrones, it's a sensory thing. Yeah. I totally get that.
Yeah.
But when it's this weird, like we're trying to titillate housewives, Law and Order, Special Victims Unit kind of thing, where it's like, oh, she was raped and he left his hatchet in her anal cavity.
It's the butt hatchet killer again. No, it's just a copycat.
But that's why I don't like I don't really like Walking Dead all that much.
Oh, that show's not good though.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I never watched it.
Okay.
It's just too much. Like I can't after a while you're just bored. With the even though it's a high budget, like the whole horrifying nature of like a walking bag of guts following you around, after a while it's just like, it's just boring. I don't know, like they just do it so well in Game of Thrones that it's like every time they use gore, it's like they use it for a reason, you know.
I knew Walking Dead was going to be terrible from the end of the first episode. When Rick is cornered by all those zombies in that tank and it starts to pull away, and instead of just absolute stark silence, an Oingo Boingo song starts playing. And I was like, this show's gonna suck.
Yeah.
And I was right.
Which Oingo Boingo song is it, though?
It's like, welcome to my world.
Huh. Are you saying you don't like Danny Elfman?
That show's terrible.
I don't like Danny Elfman.
You got a problem?
I like Danny Elfman. Walking Dead's so bad.
Oh, it's so bad.
I feel like it's another one of those shows that like everybody's like, it's gotten good now.
People
I'm not going to watch season and a half that I have left to watch.
Hell no.
Just to get to the good part.
Well, there's one good season, and it's season 3. And I remember, because I watched...
That wasn't at the farm, was it?
No.
Okay.
No. That
I stopped watching.
I think that was season 2.
Season 2 is the farm, and that is one of the worst seasons of television I've ever seen.
Oh, so bad. Oh, they just walk around the farm talking, and it's like the most philosophy 101 type conversations.
Oh,
like, none of it's interesting in any way. All the characters are so boring. They're all so transparent about what purpose they serve.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like, it's a little...
I'm surprised you guys
weirdly
devoted the time... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just... weirdly right-wing that season. For some reason, it's very like, the people who watch the show will probably also watch, a lot of, I don't know, like CMT, and I don't know. It's weird. Like, I felt like watching it, like a lot of the points they were making were very... Yeah, a lot of weird conservative points. I don't know.
I took it more as like it got too like homespun folksy.
Yeah,
sort
totally.
Of like,
yeah, yeah.
You know what we need to get back to is American fundamentals.
Yeah, exactly.
There's fucking zombies out there.
Yeah,
go kill them.
Yeah, but then I felt like they did a good job in the third season of abandoning that. And then the fourth season was just the biggest cock tease in the world, because I spent the whole fourth season going, this is the season everyone's talking about. Everyone's been talking about Walking Dead now for a while, and I'm finally watching the show everyone's watching. And then I watched it, and it was fucking boring.
What happened in the fourth season?
I can't.
Nothing. Nobody dies. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
I can't figure out why zombies as a concept are still a draw on their own.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen 1,000 iterations of the zombie concept, and I've seen it done well.
Yeah.
And I'm not that interested in the concept anymore. Like,
I think
it doesn't that many. There's not, when you've used a thing as a metaphor for 1,000 other things, like that thing is not a valuable metaphor anymore. And I just don't care. Like, same with True Blood. They're like, oh, we got this show. It's about vampires. It's like, Let me guess. Are they sexy vampires? Yeah. Don't give a shit. Seen it 1,000 times already.
Are they discriminated against?
Yeah.
Did you see Wreck?
Wreck.
It's
no.
a Spanish zombie movie.
Oh, yeah,
movie.
I know what you're talking about.
That's the
that.
Last good zombie movie that came out.
Yeah.
Like, and even the sequels aren't good.
What about Shaun of the Dead?
Like,
it came out after Shaun.
I'm
okay.
sure there's like good zombie stuff, but as soon as I hear the concept,
honestly,
I'm like,
really not.
I'm like, channel your creativity into something that I'm not so sick of. Like, you know what I mean?
Shaun of the Dead was good.
Shaun of the Dead was.
Great. We need
That's my
more
least
mummies.
Favorite Edgar Wright movie.
Honestly,
they're,
mummies.
They're trying to reboot the Mummy again. They're
good.
Trying to reboot the reboot series.
Good. Bring back mummies. You know, because that's
Look,
really scary.
Oh, mummies
they're
all are just zombies with bandages.
No, you ruined mummies for me. Shit. All right, hold on. Bring back Rumpelstiltskins.
Rumpelstiltskins, plural, like they're in life.
There's a whole bunch of them, right?
Is there just a bunch of these Rumpelstiltskins out there just trying to steal babies and eat fucking...
Yeah.
Was that his thing? Is he a baby stealer?
Yeah,
I don't
just
know.
Remember, what did he do?
Like, he spun stuff
in baby
stealer. Spun stuff into gold.
It was
something
anti-Semitic.
But I think
I
he was also trying to steal a baby.
Yeah.
Oh, that's totally anti-Semitic.
It's totally anti-Semitic.
He spins wool into gold and he steals babies?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's definitely Rumpelstiltskinberg.
Yeah, for sure. Rumpelstiltsky. That's what it really was.
I mean, that seems more Russian, but you know.
Rumpled no foreskin. That's what it is. Rumpled foreskin.
Oh, no.
I just figured it
Nobody
out.
Nobody wants rumpled foreskin.
Mm.
So did you see the church billboard that quoted Hitler?
Oh, yeah. No, oh, but that sounds awesome.
He alone who owns the youth gains the future, and then it's Adolf Hitler.
Jesus.
And it's on a billboard.
Holy
Does
shit.
Does it say Adolf Hitler?
It's a Lifesavers Ministries.
Yeah, it says Adolf Hitler.
Oh, yeah, it's attributed. That's the funny
Whoa.
Thing. Like, it'd be one thing if it wasn't attributed.
Wow.
What
it's
the
a, there's
fuck?
A weird thing where...
Wait, why is... What? Where did that and why?
Opelika, Alabama. A billboard.
That's the South, though.
Yeah. I kind of get
a
it.
A billboard
if
at the Village
like
Mall.
If you'd been like New Hampshire, I would have been like, that's fucked.
In Auburn, Alabama, features 5 smiling kids beneath the quote from Adolf Hitler. According to Lamar Advertising's Montgomery office, the billboard was rented out by Lifesavers Ministries based in Opelika, Alabama.
Lifesavers.
Is that how you pronounce the town? It's a pretty cool town name.
Opelika, I think, is how they pronounce it.
Opelika?
Yeah.
Opelika. That, you're saving that boy's laka.
So did they
No, get, he's saving Micah.
Oh man. Do they give a reason as to why they would dare?
They haven't gotten a quote from the actual people who put up the builder.
Weird.
Only the advertiser who rents out the space.
Yeah, the guys who kick the can down the road. Oh, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Oh, we just rent it. We rent this space.
You know, that whole thing with advertising, and they're like, we don't condone this message, but at the same time, it makes us uncomfortable. Like all the Muni ads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the outrageously anti-Muslim Muni ads. Yeah.
I haven't seen those.
You haven't seen those?
Yeah.
It's this one lady who does it in like Muni's a bunch of different municipalities where she just rents bus ads that are incredibly anti-Muslim.
Oh, yeah. Like,
oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. Beware Sharia law type
Yo,
shit.
Yo, it's exactly that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's just like, yeah, Muslims are evil. And you're just like, no, lady, maybe stop it.
Yeah. Especially if they're spending money on it. It's just like that takes some serious hatred.
Yeah, and all of the bus companies are just like, we have to, but we don't feel this way.
Otherwise, it'll just be another safety sign.
Exactly.
We are pulling the billboard and certainly never intended to cause confusion. Herbert Hoover would have been a far better one to quote when he said, "Children are our most valuable resource."
Yeah, I don't think confusion is really the feeling.
How about, "I believe the children are our future. Teach them how to let them live the way."
I was just going to say, why do you need to quote Hoover? What is it about? I feel like it seems like it's a right wing thing to where they they attribute quotes to people that they're actively against. Like, you see a lot of quotes where they're quoting Marx and Lenin and shit, where they're I think it was in Jesus Camp. There's a lot of they're like trying to copy the methods of like Lenin and Marx and shit.
But do they attribute
like,
it?
Oh, we're learning from our enemy. And
shit. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's okay. a weird that's thing.
Religion probably... is the opiate of the masses.
Yeah, that's the one part. They're like, right. Well, we can't say that.
Yeah.
Look, opiates are very addictive.
Yeah, it'd be funny if they're like, that's why we're giving the children opium.
Yeah. By the way, shoot up in the pews.
I just Wikipedia'd Rumpelstiltskin. A miller lies to a king saying his daughter can spin straw into gold. The king locks her in a room and says, I'll either marry you if you can turn all the straw into gold, or I'll kill you.
Yeah.
It's a nice story.
That is beautiful.
Then a little imp comes in and offers to actually spin the straw into gold in exchange for her firstborn child.
Damn you, Rumpelstiltskin.
And then when the child
comes... He just wants to get his beak wet.
Yeah.
It's like 10% of that baby.
Right. When the child comes, he comes to collect. She offers him all the gold, and he says, no, I just want the child. Then makes a bet that if she can guess his name, he won't come for the child anymore.
And then
somebody, her messenger,
fucking cheats, right?
Yeah, watches unseen as the imp hops about his fire and sings in the song's lyrics. Tomorrow I'll go to the king's house. Nobody knows my name. I'm called Rumpelstiltskin.
That's the no showboating.
Yeah.
That's what you have to learn. Right. Don't SMH. Showboat.
Act like you've been there before, man. Yeah. Rumpelstiltskin, come on.
It's annoying, but honestly, a deal is a deal. Like, she agreed to it.
That's the thing.
And yeah, like, what's the moral here? Because this is like a Grimm's fairy tale. Like, so what's the moral here?
It's for sure anti-Semitic.
Oh, it's absolutely.
I mean, I'm not saying everything is
the moral is kill all the Jews.
For sure, because, like, that's like when you watch, like, fucking Merchant of Venice, and like you can interpret Shylock either way. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they totally cheat him out of a deal. And it's like,
that's a big problem with Merchant of Venice. They didn't stick to the terms of the deal.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's why everyone is like, you know, hates, you know, like Jews and shit in literature.
Oh, that's why?
No, because they'll be like, oh, you know, they always make these fucked up deals and then we cheat them out of the deals and they get all mad. And it's like, well, I mean, yeah, the deals that they're making in there are fucked up, but I feel like those are kind of, you know, those are like, exaggerations.
Like Gollum. He's like, I'll let you out. I'll give you the ring if you can answer this riddle.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's in my pocket? Motherfucker, what's in my pocket is not a
that
riddle.
That is totally not a riddle.
You cheated that Gollum out of his ring.
Exactly. Cheating.
He just wanted his gold.
Look, Gollums are obviously anti-Semitic.
For sure.
I mean,
Gollums, Rumpelstiltskins. Fucking Bernstein Bears. These are all just fucking anti-Semitic.
All these Jews just want to live in a tree and eat our honey, right?
Like, bullshit. Someone needs to do something.
Baron, but it's
about bears or Jews?
I think about bears. Did you guys see the bear in the hammock?
Yes.
Oh, damn, that was amazing.
Yo, I've never seen anything more relaxed than that bear.
Yeah, that bear was...
That's the coolest bear ever.
It's a leisure bear.
Yeah.
And it was a black bear, which I'm cool. I like that it was a black bear, because not in a racist way. Like, no, because
they're the least scary of the big bears.
They're the least scariest bear. You know,
they're not the least scariest bear. Okay, they're the least scariest big bear.
Big bear, yeah. Like, they're the most cuddly bear, you know. It wasn't a grizzly, you know, which is like, eat your family. It's like, it's the kind of bear you can chase away with a pan. Just, hey.
I'm here.
I'm going to tie a bell to my backpack, and they're going to leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I like black bears.
Not those grizzlies. That's the dinner bell.
Yeah.
You know.
Watch out for those grizzlies.
Fuck grizzlies.
Oh, you see a polar bear?
Fuck that.
Oh, yeah.
You better run the other direction,
shit about hammocks.
You ever seen a bipolar bear?
Oh, you catch them on a bad day. It's real rough.
You gotta fucking make it out with both sexes. See what I did? I just keep changing the pun.
I have this great idea. It's going to change the world.
Kill me.
You like fish dicks in your mouth?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great bear anyways.
We got a voicemail.
Ooh.
Play that for you.
Hi, I was just wondering when Laramie is going to be back on the show. He's way funnier than the rest of you, so he should be on it all the time. That's not a lot meaner than a minute, too. You're all funny, but Laramie's really funny. Okay, bye.
You know what? One of my big problems with fandoms is when they assume familiarity with you, mm-hmm. uh-huh. and they're really insulting.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't know me.
Right.
But I really appreciate when she just like apologized for being mean.
As Brett likes to say, I really appreciate it when people have fan fiction about us.
Yeah.
That is a real thing.
It is funny to see like the world's people have constructed. There's one guy who's like, well, I mean, we all know that like Brennan fucking hates Ben. Like, that was really good. That was yeah. like one wow. of my favorite emails.
That's great.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Hollywood has this is another email we got. Hollywood has officially run out of ideas. X-Men 7, Erection of the Twink, has bombed. Ari Gold needs a new movie, and he needs it right fucking now. Lloyd, you Asian bastard! But he doesn't need Lloyd or his noodle-covered screenplays. He has the perfect idea. A movie. A movie about the Frotcast. It has everything. Vince, for the ladies. Ben, for the Jews. Brendan, for the jocks and the scat. And Brett, he appeals to those goth kids who like grunge and stuff. What I want to know is who would you guys want to play the Fab Foursome? My own personal casting choices would be Vince, Edward Norton, Brendan, Vince Vaughn / Jason Segel, Ben, Zach Braff, Brett, Jared Leto, Ben Foster, James Franco, Laramie, Kevin James, Matt Lieb, Pedro Pascal / Adam Driver. Okay, Adam Driver's not too far from the truth.
Adam Driver
really is, actually. I've really actually close.
Been, yeah.
I've, you would have to bulk up for Adam Driver to play you, but.
Well, he's a dick, but, you know.
Eat a dick, but yeah.
I mean, I agree, but eat a dick.
The film would be directed by Cameron Crowe and scored by Smash Mouth.
And this is exactly what I was talking about with assumed familiarity.
Yeah, it's
fan fiction.
That's why I said it.
They got pretty close with Adam Driver, though. That was kind of impressive.
I don't know about Edward Norton.
Also, I can see it. X-Men movie didn't bomb.
What didn't bomb?
The X-Men movie.
Oh
no,
yeah.
He was making up the seventh version of X. He was making up a fictionalized X-Men in a dystopian future where Hollywood
and
really
he was
needs...
including the Entourage continuity.
Yeah, he added some Ari Gold in there, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
fucking Entourage.
God, I hate that.
Brendan,
it's
I would
the
say,
worst
let's
shit
see.
In the world.
Let's see. Brendan, who would play Brendan? I'm going to say...
I feel like I used to get a lot of Vince Vaughn, but...
Now it would be... Who played...
Now he really looks like shit.
It would be the guy...
I need someone with a bigger
Susan,
head.
Sandra Bullock's son in The Blind Side would play
Michael Miller.
Yeah.
The black guy?
Yeah, the black guy. Yeah.
No, the little white kid. He's yeah. running through the tunnel.
He's gotten a lot bigger. You should see him now.
Mark Ruffalo.
That'd be good. Constantly bewildered.
What? DJ Qualls.
What was that movie he was in with Reese Witherspoon, which I caught myself watching where she's a ghost and she can only talk to him? And it's in San Francisco, and it made me realize I spent a good hour watching it because I was like, hey, I know their place. Hey, I've been there.
Fuck.
And so I ended up watching
it. I remember that this happened.
It was really good, classic Ruffalo bewilderment. Lots of what? And she's a doctor, so of course there's like a guy who like passes out at a restaurant, and she's like giving him instructions on what to do, and he's like, "What?" And like all squeamish.
I'm really disappointed that I know more than one a woman dies and stays around as a ghost movie over her dead body. Everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say the what's her face?
Eva Longoria.
Yeah, Eva Longoria. God,
she did one of those.
Yeah, yeah. With I think it was Jason Biggs and Lake Bell.
Wasn't Napoleon Dynamite in one of those?
Was he?
I think he was. He's in a ghost
that dude,
movie.
The only non-Napoleon Dynamite role I remember him doing is School for Scoundrels, which was not a great
movie. He
did
the Benchwarmers.
Oh, okay.
What the hell movie? Oh, Just Like Heaven, is that
yes!
it?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's that one.
Yes.
Yep.
Peter Tolan. A lonely landscape architect falls for the spirit of the beautiful woman who used to live in his new apartment.
Yes.
Yeah. Tagline, it's a wonderful afterlife. Plot.
Frank Capra!
Plot keywords are apartment, spirit, architect, coma, and doctor. We need to come up with a game that involves plot keywords on IMDb. A lot of ways to go with those.
Yeah, there is.
You can take a keyword and guess which other movies will also have it.
Yeah, coma.
Coma, also, Sleepless in Seattle.
Is there a coma in there?
Isn't that?
I've never seen it. I've seen You've Got Mail.
Don't they? Isn't it? Isn't Sleepers I never saw in that. Seattle? The guy falls into a coma and then comes out of it, and Meg Ryan's like, "Hey, let's make out." Or is it the other way around?
Oh, no, no. It's
isn't there one where they write each other letters? Yeah, or something?
That's the Lake House, and they're three years apart, but they're writing each other letters.
Yeah, that's Sandra Bullock, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but there's similar. Movie because isn't Sleepless in Seattle about letters as well?
I don't know.
I thought You've Got Mail was about them emailing each other.
You've Got Mail is definitely.
You know what? I think
one.
I only saw You Got Mail and I just assumed Sleepless in Seattle was that, but with regular mail.
Didn't the coma one involve Kevin Costner?
Oh.
Or is that something?
Waterworld.
I'm thinking the coma one I'm thinking about is Sandra Bullock gets
matched
up. Oh,
that's while you were sleeping, isn't it?
I think so.
Yes.
She gets mashed up with a guy who wakes up from a coma. He also has one ball.
No, yeah, that's while you were sleeping. Like he got, I think I saw this on a plane once. Like she, like she's standing on a street corner, and like some dude gets hit by a car or something, and then they
assume that she's his girlfriend. Yeah. And she's like, "What? No!" And like no one listens to her. They're like, it's, no time to talk. Come with us. No, I'm not his girlfriend. Oh, we're not even listening to you. You just need to come with us.
No, I think she goes along with it because she had a crush on him.
Oh.
Okay, never mind. Ticket collecting romantic pretends to be engaged to an unconscious man. Oh yeah, so she's the ticket. Okay, ticket collecting romantic pretends to be engaged to an unconscious man, but can't fool his brother.
Guys, movies are dumb.
Is that an
the plot is ludicrous?
You plot think the keywords? Elevator pitch sounded like that too? The guy's like, "All right, make it green light."
Plot keywords include love, Christmas, hospital, coma, and train.
Train. All right, train. Let's think about train.
Oh, Broken Arrow.
Broken Arrow?
Yeah.
Under Siege 2, Dark Territory.
Yeah.
Unstoppable.
Yes.
Ooh.
That's a train movie.
Throw Mama from the Train.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, Taking
yeah,
a sure. Pelham 1-2-3, Underground Train.
310 to Yuma.
Yeah. Oh, classic. Guys.
Oh, the Great Human Train Centipede. Robbery.
Lone Ranger.
Human Great Centipede. Kind of running a train.
Yeah.
Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the plot.
There's been a train in there.
Here's the plot summary. Lucy's life consists of constant loneliness. That is until she saves Peter's life. Now she is a part of his family, and with a strong heart and fate on her side, others begin to realize what a terrific person she is, especially Jack, Peter's brother. An extraordinarily true-to-life sequence of... What? An extraordinarily true-to-life sequence of events begins to take place as Lucy and Jack become closer and learn more about each other and themselves than one would ever expect from such coincidental yet believable events.
Wait, what movie is this?
While You Were Sleeping.
Oh, that's the same one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
There's a different... I mean, I just read the full summary. Oh, so basically, okay. She falls in... She thinks she likes the coma guy, but really she falls in love with his brother.
That's right.
Yeah.
That just sounds...
Fucking Sandra Bullock.
Movies are dumb. Why does anybody watch them?
I hate movies.
Yeah.
Okay, so we already did Train. What do you think we get for Hospital?
The Hospital.
Yeah.
There's...
Hospital.
It's sorted by rating, so all the better ones are higher. The Dark Knight.
True.
Oh, yeah, there's a good hospital.
The Godfather.
Yeah.
Was there a hospital?
There's not a lot of movies that are centered around the hospital, but
Shutter
like...
Island.
But like involve a climactic hospital scene, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh God.
Hmm.
Why can't I think about hospital movies?
No, right?
There's got Patch Adams.
Ha! True.
Yeah. What about Jacob's Ladder?
Oh, I was about to say Awakenings.
Yeah. I mean, you go Robin Williams in a hospital. You got to think Awakenings. Right. That's a pretty fucked up story. That movie kind of messed me up.
Jacob's Ladder?
No, Awakenings.
Jacob's Ladder's a fucked up,
really
movie.
Fucked up story.
I need to see these movies.
Jacob's Ladder is like a horror movie. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. It's spelled with a K. Jacob with a K.
I think it's with
Yakub.
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 Dr. Yakub. 5% Nation, guys. 5% Nation.
I can't think of any other hospital movies.
Yeah.
Didn't they make a movie out of MASH?
I think there was some Mission Impossible.
Mobile hospital.
Was MASH a movie before it was a TV show or afterwards?
Before.
It was before, wasn't it?
Before.
It was an Altman movie, then the TV show.
Then it was a TV show. Yeah, that's right. I believe that is true.
Yes.
MASH. I believe that.
Yes, I've watched neither of them yet.
You never watched the TV show MASH?
Nah.
I watched the shit out of MASH. I've watched like 2 episodes of that when I was really little, and I was like, I don't get it! And that's it. That's what happened. Yeah. I remember they created the channel FX, and then MASH was just always on. Mm-hmm. I believe that's true. Yeah, either that, or it was just on Fox a lot.
It's kind of weird that it's a comedy about like where it's like the necessary plot devices like dead people or dying people.
Right.
Like,
they used to do that. Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
A lot of good war comedy back in the
days.
Yeah.
See, Hogan's Heroes is something I'd like to see just because, like, I wonder if they have that one episode where they're just like,
on a very special Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, on a very special Hogan's Heroes. Watch us kill.
Here's the soap going there.
Yeah.
Do you think there was, like, you know how there was a lot of pushback on Django Unchained where it was, like, you know, very overtly comedic and certain people didn't like that? Do you think there was a lot of pushback on Hogan's Heroes, or did that just not exist before the internet?
No, yeah, everybody was like, that time. Oh, this Nazi's hilarious.
Yeah, plus I think it like, making your enemy a buffoon was a much more socially acceptable thing. Like when you watch the cartoons of that era, like I still remember watching Looney Tunes when I was a kid, and like Bugs Bunny, like, you know, put on the glasses with like the slanty eyes, and acting like Admiral Tojo, and being like, "Oh, oh, oh," you know.
Oh, you're old enough so that they actually aired those.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, I remember seeing those in class. They would be like, this is what Looney Tunes was.
I mean, I'm 32. It wasn't like, you know, the 60s when they were doing this. They were still showing them in like the 80s and 90s, you know.
Were they?
They stopped. They took out all the real racist ones in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still remember seeing like they would like go to Africa. There's like the, you know, like black skin and like the big pink lips, you know, like the super caricatured.
Yeah, later 90s, they completely stopped it. Like the Tom and Jerry cartoons, you never saw the black lady anymore.
Oh,
right, yeah, that's right.
There was the black lady in Tom and Jerry?
Yeah, she was the one who was always like, Thomas!
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
There's like a mammy character in like every cartoon.
Yeah. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, so that was like, that was kind of in vogue, right? To make your enemy look really stupid. So I think that was the idea of Hogan's Heroes, is you had these bumbling Nazis.
Yeah.
Not to get back on South Park's dick again, but that's why I really loved that really racist episode after 9/11 that they did, where they just showed Osama bin Laden.
Oh, it was like the Looney Tunes style.
Oh,
with the small dick.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That was so fucking funny. Yeah. And I just remember as a kid being like, I know that what they're doing is making fun of the Looney Tunes. Therefore, I feel okay laughing about this. Also, at the time, I was very mad at Muslims. Very mad.
Then you took out a bus ad.
I did.
And I was going to say, on the note of the black caricature, there was a scene in A Million Ways to Die in the West, which I thought was actually pretty funny. They're at the town fair, and you know they have the shooting gallery game, and it's called Runaway Slave. And it's just got like all the like horrible like caricatures going back and forth that you're supposed to shoot at.
Jesus.
Which I thought was funny because the context of the Old West.
Right,
like,
sure.
Obviously, that makes sense. But then at the end of the movie, I think to like give himself a weird sort of pass for doing it, he had a post-credits Django cameo with Jamie Foxx. Where he walks in as Django and like fucking shoots the like runaway slave, and then says some sort of one-liner that I couldn't hear because people were shouting.
What?
Yes.
Crazy.
Ugh.
Yeah, one of two really weird, completely non sequitur,
Family Guy-esque
fourth wall references.
Super Family Guy-esque.
But see, the Family Guy-esque, like, I feel like he used to do them to where the reference itself wasn't the entire bit.
Right, right.
Like there was
the reference served a larger joke.
Yeah, like there was the Breakfast Club reference where it was like all the cereal mascots in Family Guy.
Right.
Where it was actually pretty funny where like one of them, like the...
Yeah, I guess that's how the jokes work, right? It's like, here is this character in this situation. And in this, they don't put a situation
no,
on
yeah,
it.
No, yeah, the
they
situation...
They just say, here's like, this cameo.
Hey, remember Count Chocula?
God.
Yeah, picture of Count Chocula. And
Seltzer-Fried burger, guys. Seltzer-Fried burger. Yeah.
Well, especially when one of the references to Back to the Future, because it's like...
Yeah, Chris Lloyd's in it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing when Cable Guy does an entire homage to that one Star Trek movie.
Well, that was amazing.
Yeah. But also, that was like an homage. It was sort of... It wasn't, like the reference wasn't... You didn't have to get the reference to think that was funny, number one.
Right, right.
And then now it's like... Well, the reference is to Back to the Future with everyone in the entire... It's not like an obscure, small thing. That,
right, sure.
Well, and he explains.
Yeah,
he's like, Star Trek episode! You know, like, whatever.
Right, yeah, yeah. That's
true. The whole thing where he explains
what
he's
doing.
Yeah,
and that totally makes sense in the context of the plot of that movie.
Right,
the guy
because
is, like,
he's obsessed with TV.
Obsessed with TV, yeah.
I don't think Ben Stiller gets enough credit as a director, to be honest.
Man,
I never saw Walter Mitty, though.
I heard Walter Mitty was bad.
Did he direct it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. I can't judge yet.
But I love really, Cable Guy. Like, Zoolander is like one of my favorite movies, comedies.
I love that movie.
Cable Guy's fantastic.
Cable Guy's great. I thought Tropic Thunder was pretty damn funny,
Tropic
too.
Tropic Thunder's good.
It was great. Yeah, it's really crazy how Cable Guy is pretty much revered now by everyone I know.
And it bumps.
People
so
hated it.
People
it was a weird, it was a
it
tough
was very
sell
weird.
When it came out.
Well, and he went from Ace Ventura. Did he make, in The Mask.
The Mask was and like, Dumb and Dumber.
And I Dumb and Dumber. Like Asian.
Yeah, like really over the top, kind of hammy, accessible humor to like something a little darker. And I mean, I think watching it now, you're like, yeah, he's still really hammy in that movie because he is, but like he was sinister.
Yeah.
You know?
54% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
Aiming perhaps for a neat double helix of black humor and prankishness, they've ended up with a pretty ugly granny knot.
Who said that?
I want to punch that reviewer in the mouth.
Time Magazine.
Wait, is that Richard Corliss?
Get his granny panties out of his granny
ass. I fucking hate Richard Corliss more than anybody movie reviewing.
I hate him too.
Worse than any of the AV Club people. Worse than anybody.
Yeah.
And I hate some of those AV Club people. That Todd Vanderwerf is just the fucking worst.
One of these days, I'm just going to do like a full movie critic beef down.
Oh, yeah. You got to bring me in there because I was a Richard Corliss hater for so many years.
You know who I've hated for a very long time?
Who?
Mick LaSalle.
Who's he?
The San Francisco Chronicle guy. Like, I remember him. I remember him panning Braveheart and loving the first night with Richard Gere and Julia Ormond. And yeah, ever since then, and even now, he's just really good at being wrong. Mm-hmm. Much of it plays like a personal boob tube with Carrie trapped inside, determined to act his way out in a freak show of mugging. He's a disturbing mixture of psychopath and lonely soul. Here, as always, a little Carrie goes a long way.
What?
I like as always.
As always, yeah.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing, though. Back in the day, he was, the funniest human being.
Let's just read the reviews.
I remember seeing Ace Ventura when I was in the theaters, and like that was a game changer for me, like seeing Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been on a 90s comedy rewatch to see which ones hold up and which ones don't.
Yeah.
First, Ace Ventura holds up very well.
Yeah.
Second one, okay.
Yeah.
First, Austin Powers holds up fantastically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second one, not at all.
Yeah. Oh, wow. The sequels were bad.
The sequels are really
That's
bad.
That's interesting because I remember loving Austin Powers 2 as a kid.
Oh, no. Yeah. As a kid, it's definitely like, it's the big problem I have with most comedy sequels where they just rehash all the jokes from the first one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably just didn't notice that as a kid. Exactly. I was like, oh, good.
I don't think there's a weird thing where Farrelly Brothers comedies don't hold up at all.
Not at all.
I was never and a I huge loved Farrelly them. Fan, so yeah. I
loved
them
at the time.
Need to do a big is,
I bet I Something About Mary Kingpin. Is still good. Mm-hmm. Something About Mary, that's got
to
be
I used
still
to
good.
Love that too. I feel like I rewatched it and it was not quite as good.
It's they have a weird like obvious style where it's just like joke is like a fucking tomato that's going to throw at a wall and then splat and then there it is. You know, it's like set them up, knock them down.
Oh, and Dumb and Dumber, though, holds up like a motherfucker.
That one does. The other ones, not so much.
Yeah.
But I think of Dumb and Dumber almost more as a Jim Carrey movie than as a Farrelly Brothers movie.
I don't know.
Are you going to give Jeff Bridges no credit? I mean,
he was pretty good.
Daniels. Yeah, yeah. He's great. You know what doesn't hold up at all, and I feel really weird about it, is the sketch comedy television show In Living Color.
Ooh,
really?
That would be
try watching that again and see
it
if
was
you can,
so good at the time.
See if you can handle it.
It was like the ultimate in comedy. At
I know.
The time.
I thought it was the best sketch comedy show ever, and then I rewatched
I guess it's
it.
It's Wayne's Brothers, though, so you got a little bit of that like scary movie, kind of really stupid,
just real dumb. Just like you realize the characters are just so it's so childish that it makes me cringe. Like it makes me mad, and I'm trying to. I've tried to watch a few of it, like. Sometimes there'll be a sketch where I'm like, okay, this one kind of holds up a bit, like Jim Carrey being like a karate teacher.
Fire Marshal Bill.
Fire Marshal Bill is pretty great.
When he's a karate teacher and he can only stab
in the smoke.
That one's so good. Yeah. And he's just getting the shit kicked out of him because he's like, try this on me. And then someone like kick him in the face. And he's like, oh, no, I meant like this.
Yeah,
and it's like
it
some really lame kick.
Like really blockable thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that's a great sketch.
That was really funny.
Does Men on Film hold up?
No. That's like one long gay joke.
It was the thing. Is a lot of the stuff I realized I also, I guess maybe politically started going.
Oh, Men on Film is just one long gay bash.
That one
joke.
After a while I just was like,
do you remember Jim Carrey had a recurring sketch on that where he would just go into the back of like news broadcasts? You know, when someone's like reporting in front of a scene and he'd like those are pretty good. There was one time where they were reporting in front of a murder and he got under the blanket the corpse was under and like reanimated. It was pretty amazing.
What about Vera DeMilo?
Was that like the
where he's like the
lady?
Female bodybuilder? Jim Carrey's a female bodybuilder.
Does that hold up?
I don't remember seeing that one again.
He talked like this.
Yeah. I don't remember.
He talked like Nick Ring.
The one I remember seeing again there's a character. I think it's a detective, but it's
the head detective.
Yeah, that is. It was the worst thing. I laughed at it so much when I was a kid. Yeah. And then watching it again, it was just a lot of really lame jokes.
It was David Alan Greer, wasn't it? Or was it Damon Wayans Jr.?
I thought it was... Maybe it was Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans. Damon Wayans, yeah.
The old man.
Because his son is an actor now.
Yeah. Oh, he is. Okay, yeah. Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
It was either Damon Wayans or it was...
I thought it was maybe Jamie Foxx. I don't know.
Keenan Ivory?
I haven't seen it.
It was basically a guy's head on a table with shoes
with
in front
shoes
of it.
On.
It was literally the head detective.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe don't watch it again.
All right. Yeah, I have such fond memories.
Remember there was also Handyman, which was just a retarded guy? He was like the retarded superhero? Oh,
yeah, no, but he was a cerebral palsy superhero. Actually... Oh. Disabled people love that sketch. I remember at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, my mom worked with disabled people at this community college, and like every person with cerebral palsy fucking loved that sketch.
What about you guys remember Homie Don't Play That?
Yeah, Homie the Clown.
Okay, Don't Replay.
Oh, no, because I loved Homie the Clown.
I had a Homie the Clown t-shirt.
Just the sock hit.
Everybody had a sock, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck. It just, I don't know. I feel like I should re-watch it because the last time I rewatched it was like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And maybe I would like it. Maybe it'd get funny again, like on a kind of like an ironic level. Like, oh, you know what? Conceptually, it's funny that these adults were doing these stupid jokes. But I was, when I rewatched it 4 years ago, I was like, this is not holding up at all. I felt really bad about it.
I sort of wish Jamie Foxx didn't take himself so seriously because most movies he does, like even when he's doing comedy, he still kind of takes himself really seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did that
He's really talented. He's also a fucking egomaniac.
Yeah. He did that one stand up that was called I Might Need Security that was brilliant. Yeah. It was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like.
And it was the most 90s thing in the world. Like he was wearing like overalls with spray paint on him.
No, that was, I think you're thinking of the one before that where he's doing like jokes about Clinton and Bob Dole.
Probably.
Every time he does a Clinton joke, it's just someone like taking a big drag on a joint. He's like, you see that motherfucker fall off the stage?
Yeah.
Remember when Bob Dole fell off the stage?
Yeah.
Then there was one he did in maybe like 2002 or 2003.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like P. Diddy and J-Lo jokes. Yeah. But it was funny. It was really funny.
Well, Jamie Foxx used to be a really amazing stand-up comedian.
And then he achieved the dream of all of us and got the fuck out.
Got out. Just
now he's a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah, now he's just doing whatever he wants, which is really
he's showing up in a Seth MacFarlane movie his character in another movie.
Tarantino was pissed. I feel like Tarantino would have just been like, yeah, okay, now let's do some coke and lick toes.
No, Tarantino just loves dumb stuff. He'd be like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
By the way, you can cross-reference multiple keywords on IMDb. It's like bare breasts and hospital.
Oh, all right.
The game should be we throw in how many tags and see if there's actually a movie for it.
Ooh, that's
not
a good
bad.
Game.
That's not bad.
All right, okay. Midgets.
I don't know how to do that. Oh, wait, yeah, dude, hold on.
Okay.
All right. We go around once and we each say a keyword.
Uh-huh. I bet you they don't have a midget.
And then we try to find if there's a movie for it.
Okay, so
dwarf.
Dwarf.
Willow.
Okay. No. You have to say another keyword.
We need more keywords.
Yeah.
Just okay, say dwarf, hospital.
Oh, well, no. Fuck hospital. I can't handle hospital. I can't think of anything with a hospital.
Train.
Dwarf, train.
Monkey. Coma.
Okay.
Okay, let's see it.
Shit just got real.
Dwarf, train, monkey, coma.
I'm excited.
You think there's anything? Okay.
I don't think so. I think Willow, we will have stumped the IMDb engine.
There's got to be something.
No matching title.
Okay, take out coma.
Okay. Dwarf, train, monkey.
Oh, okay. The game is we each say a word, and then if there's not, we take off one of the keywords until we get a movie.
Yeah. Well, in this case, we got ones. What do you think they are?
Oh, shit.
We got three movies.
Okay, there's that. There's that crazy,
Train Coma?
There's no way.
There's that Lucio Fulci movie with Jennifer Connelly, Suspiria?
No.
What about Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
No.
Yeah, there's no.
You guys aren't going to get this.
No Temple of Doom?
No. There's Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Fuck! Of course! Of course!
The Greatest Show on Earth from 1952 and City of Ghosts from 2002.
This is a fun game.
Yeah, this is a surprisingly amazing game. All
right, so we got Dwarf, Train, Monkey. What can I substitute in here for this?
Take out Dwarf and add, let's see.
Let's go
AIDS.
Okay.
AIDS, Train, Monkey? Outbreak?
Yeah.
I'm calling Outbreak.
Okay. Do I have out?
No matching titles.
No AIDS, Train,
okay, take Monkey and change it to Urban.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know if they have Urban as a
AIDS
category.
Train.
Urban AIDS Train?
Yeah.
No.
Let's
see if they have AIDS first.
Yeah, we need to see if AIDS is a tag, first of all.
I feel like kids was about an urban AIDS train.
There's
AIDS is there. Okay.
There's 646 AIDS
wow.
titles.
Wow. Okay.
All right. AIDS.
One of them is the Constant Gardener.
AIDS.
Of which my favorite Rob Delaney tweet of all time was something about Constant Gardener 2. You bet your ass I'm still fucking gardening.
He had a really good one the other day that was two hits. My kimono hitting the floor and your yogurt hitting the ceiling fan.
All right, AIDS.
All right.
And
let's go school.
Yeah. Ooh,
okay. And breasts.
Okay.
Or bare breasts.
And let's
we're going to do another one? That's going to be a lot. Okay.
Festival.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to be in there. That seems a little vague for a tag. Right. We'll see. Nope.
All right.
What if I take out festival? Now we get AIDS, school, and bare breasts.
Okay.
Oh! Dangerous Minds!
There's only one.
Dangerous Minds.
That'd be great. There's only one film. There's
what
no
is
way.
It?
I've never even heard of this movie. It's just called A Home at the End of the World.
All right.
Starring Colin Farrell.
Oh, yeah. That came out like 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, what Farrell? Do you think it's about? Because
it's like a bunch of open relationships, I think, right?
Huh.
Let's find...
Isn't it like a bunch of people hooking up with each other? Which would explain the AIDS thing.
And the bare breasts. But what about the school?
I don't
know. That is a long summary. Hold on. From the Pulitzer Prize winning author of The Hours comes a story that chronicles a dozen years in...
did you just fall asleep halfway through?
I did, I just had an aneurysm. A dozen years in the lives of two best friends who couldn't be more different. From suburban Cleveland in the 60s to New York City in the 80s, where they meet an older woman, the film charts a journey of trials, triumphs, loves, and losses. Now the question is, can they navigate the unusual triangle they've created and hold their friendship together?
Yeah, they're all hooking up with each other.
And someone has AIDS, and there's a school.
And maybe all three of them have AIDS.
All right, new tag. All right,
new tag. Okay.
Prison.
Halloween.
Prison Halloween.
I love this. Just Mad Libs. It's sort of like I Like My Women, Like I Like My Blank game that we play.
Yeah.
Prison Halloween.
Forest Fire.
How about just Fire?
Fire, sure. Fire.
Prison Halloween and Fire. Oh, there's got to be a lot.
Oh, Pumpkin. Well, I don't know if there's a.
I'm going to say Demolition, or not Demolition Man, The Crow.
Ooh.
404 error.
No. What do we say? Prison Halloween Fire?
Yeah. Prison Halloween Fire. Oh, the first result is Prison Halloween Fire, the movie.
Once again, only one movie that you're probably not going to get. It's called 12 and Holding.
12 and Holding? Starring...
I don't think they celebrate Halloween in prison, guys.
After his twin brother is accidentally killed by vengeful bullies, a 12-year-old boy and his friends face the harsh realities of death, teenage hormones, family dysfunction.
I feel like that could also be what was it? School AIDS, bare breasts. I feel like that also falls.
This movie has 146 plot keywords, including death, twin, picnic, thief, loss of son, interracial adoption, wind, photograph, baseball glove, chainsaw, Christmas, husband-wife relationship, flashlight, running away, trailer home, birthday, arson, policeman, prison, loss of twin, singing. Obesity, treehouse, prison visitation, toilet, bulldozer, bunk bed.
Are there? Did somebody just list every noun they saw in the movie?
Menstruation, bare-chested male, talent show.
Bare-chested male.
Wind chime.
The next game has to involve the keyword menstruation.
For sure.
Yeah.
And a loss of a twin.
That's all right.
So specific.
Okay, so what do you think the most popular menstruation titles?
Girl Interrupted.
My Girl.
Let's see.
Super Bad.
What movies have menstruation in them?
Super Bad.
Yeah, Super Bad, definitely.
Super Bad's number two.
Oh, so that was a nice pull. What's the first one?
See, you guys could play to see if you can guess the highest the highest rated movie of that keyword.
God.
You said My Girl?
Yeah.
Okay. My Girl's at number 13. Superbad's at two.
Okay.
What's the number one ranked menstruation film?
Oh, Carrie.
You would think Carrie would be number, but it's not based on how prevalent menstruation is in the movie, but how popular the movie is.
Oh,
that also has on IMDb. Carrie is actually number 49.
Revolutionary Road.
Oh, no. Sorry. The Carrie remake's at 10.
Oh.
What?
What?
Oh, no. Sorry. Number 6 and 10.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah. Revolutionary Road. Is that on there?
Is Kate Winslet menstruating in that?
No, but she has a miscarriage.
Oh, God.
Blood coming out of the vagina.
God. We could do okay. So what's the highest rated miscarriage movie? I'm gonna say Private Parts is up there.
Ooh. Yeah.
Rosemary's Baby. Does that count?
Oh, Godfather 2.
No. It was an abortion, Matt. It was an abortion, Matt.
I didn't want your son.
How about The Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
Okay, so each person gets one guess.
Okay.
Who's going to be the highest rater? Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
Yeah.
I don't think that got great reviews, so I don't know. I guess it's user rating.
Well, Revolutionary Road still counts.
Okay, Revolutionary Road.
Saw a Rebecca De Mornay titty in that movie.
Yeah, you did. So Revolutionary Road, and you got Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Mm-hmm.
The only movie title I can think of is The Exorcism of Emily Rose for some reason.
I'll take that. I mean,
it's not number
obscure.
One. Yeah.
Hand That Rocks, Emily Rose, and what was yours? Revolutionary Road.
Yeah.
Okay, so Revolutionary Road. Ooh, not even in the top 300, not even top 100.
Are you kidding me? Oh, you put miscarriage, right?
Yeah.
Oh, miscarriage. I thought we were still doing menstruation.
It was an abortion.
Oh, if we're doing miscarriage...
Hand That Rocks the Cradle is 28.
Yeah, there was no miscarriage in Emily Rose. So.
Okay, I chose Private Parts, which I didn't see before I clicked. Private Parts is number...
Fuck. I don't know how many movies...
Private Parts is number 25, so I just beat Brendan by three. What's
up? All right, hold on. Miscarriage. Hold on, wait. Miscarriage. Who loses a baby? God damn it.
Who do I know who's lost a baby?
Ma! Who lost a baby in a movie? Ma!
That's a weird thing to ask your parents.
My mom would know.
Would she? Is it because it's morbid?
Yeah. She knows that is morbid.
All right, we got to finish this off. Come on, I need two movies.
I was about
to
say Kill Bill, but no, that baby comes to term.
Shit.
Yeah.
God damn, I can't think of any miscarriages.
Come on, man. Fuck. All right, give me another keyword.
All right. How about...
Here, I can see them all on the right. Let's do...
Loss of a twin. I want to do...
Ooh, okay. Loss of twin.
Yeah.
Whew, but no, we can't think of... No.
Yeah, adaptation.
Tai Guk Yi, The Brotherhood of War.
Did you just make that up?
No, it's
The Social Network. One of those Winklevosses kills themselves.
Loss of twin. There are five titles.
Wow.
One of them is adaptation.
Nope.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It should be. It really should be.
How about Tai Guk Yi, The Brotherhood of War?
No, there's zero Akai Chow, but that's a video game.
There's a Loss of Twin in a video game?
No one's going to get these. Loss of Twin is too...
Too obscure?
Yeah.
Is it that one movie, though? The 12 Days of Summer or whatever that was called?
The one you looked up that had Bulldozer and Menstruation in it.
Okay, so there's 44 movies with that just it's nudity. Is the oh, miscarriage and nudity.
There's only 44 movies? Right. I've seen them all.
Wait, you mean I've only seen 88 nipples?
So there's it's miscarriage and nudity. Sorry, I still had miscarriage clicked.
Oh.
You know?
Miscarriage, nudity.
Wait, the best kind of nudity. We never found out what the number one menstruation film
was. Yeah, what was number one menstruation film?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Look, people are dying to know.
The Vagina Monologues?
The Departed? Followed by Superbad. I Love You, Man.
Wait a second. When was there menstruation in The Departed?
Oh, hold on.
When was there menstruation in The Departed?
I don't remember.
Hey, you on your period?
Oh
yeah, that's what it is.
What?
Okay. It's that scene. He's drinking great. Cranberry juice. It's like only people who drink cranberry juice are on the period. So you on your period? That's got to be it.
Weird. Huh.
All right. Well.
I don't think the one woman in that movie talks about her period at all.
What's that?
I don't think the one woman in that movie talks about her period.
The one single woman who's in the movie. Yeah. Oh, no. Wait. Was there another woman?
There was Vera Farmiga and also Jack Nicholson's Guma.
Yeah.
All right. Guma. I'm going there. What are the... Pick the top movie for rape.
Oh, no. Last House on the Left?
Irresistible.
What
is that movie? Irresistible.
Irreversible.
Irreversible.
Irresistible.
How about The Accused?
The Accused?
Yes, all women, guys. Yes, all women.
Yeah.
The Accused, and what do you got?
Oh, I was going to say Last House on the Left.
Okay, you want that one?
I'll go with it. Although, and you know what? I'm going to go remake.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Irreversible is... number 88.
Ooh, that's pretty low down on there, considering how infamous it is.
Yeah, I know, and that's pretty well liked, I thought. Yeah.
Shit.
The Accused?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, buddy. I don't... It's not in the top 100.
No, that's a misstep.
Yeah, that's the one with Harrison Ford and Jodie Foster, right?
She gets raped on top of a pinball machine.
Pinball machine, yeah.
It's not in the top 100.
No Last House on the Left either?
Let me see Last House on the Left.
Because 88's the one to beat.
Wow, no Last House on the Left.
Once Upon a Time in America.
Huh. Revenge of the Nerds.
It was
Lion King.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Okay, so the top five. Pulp Fiction. Seven.
You know what? Fair.
Gladiator. Memento.
Oh, yeah.
And V for Vendetta.
I'm trying to think of Pulp Fiction.
Well,
the rape. Yeah.
And that's probably the highest instance of gay rape then, too.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Look, do they have a gay rape tag?
Oh, I'm sure. I think it's probably male rape. Male rape. Yeah, Pulp Fiction number one for male rape.
American History's number two.
American History's number two.
The 40 Days and 40 Nights.
The one with Josh Hartnett?
Yeah. His ex-girlfriend comes in at the end and just fucks him while he's tied to the bed.
Oh, no, that's not in there.
Oh, but what about...
How is that?
What about...
How is that not on there?
The one,
is this supposed to be like a rom-com?
Yes, that's why it's so weird a movie.
The one with Seth Rogen in the end. What was that movie called?
This is the end.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
That's number three.
Good call.
Demon rape.
All right, I think we should go out on that one. We finished strong.
Demon rape.
Go out on demon rape.
Finish real strong. Everybody, it's real good.
Hey,
real good podcast.
Pat yourselves on the back.
Yeah, thanks for everybody who left a voicemail or an email. Again, that's frotcast@gmail.com. Check out Ivan Hernandez's podcast on Boing Boing Network.
Yeah,
Boars, Gore, and Swords.
And you can find me on Twitter at Ivan_Hernandez. My website is ivanhernandez.net. If everybody would like to come to my show, Gimme Fiction. It's the first Sunday of every month at Lost Weekend Video.
Yeah.
July 6th is the next one. I only sold one ticket to the last one, so if I don't sell more, I'm going to kill myself. And that's on you guys.
Don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, come out to all those. Go to all those.
Brendan,
all right.
Plug in your bachelor party.
That's right.
This weekend.
Yeah.
If anybody sees a giant dude in Austin, just be nice to him because he's probably really drunk.
Leave me alone and let me catch up with my friends I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
Sweet. If you happen to recognize me, say hi. And
if you recognize me and I'm talking to a girl, definitely make a big deal about it.
That's right. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah. That's what I was waiting on you for.
Didn't even get to plug.
Oh, no. I don't plug.
Oh.
I don't like plugging.
He's not a regular. He's not a regular or a guest. Okay. He's in this purgatory where he doesn't
get to
plug.
I'm in the irregular section. Fair and enough. Usually, because everyone knows my Twitter handle. It's Lieb, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You son of a bitch.
7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
That's right.
Red's going to get you to change that one day.
I know. Red got this close to letting me change it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening once again. As always, send us your emails, frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what is the Google voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right.
When is that going to stop?
All right. Wow. Anyway, Vince is getting drunk because that's when he starts hitting the soundboard compulsively. So why don't we just end it here?
Yeah.
Until next week, good night and good chins.
Boom.
Brup.